702.
13 minutes to 9 o'clock. This is the Karema Brown Show. You are listening to 702. Now, the power utility Eskom has once again painted an incredibly bleak picture of its finances, announcing a drastic drop in profit. The utility released its interim financial results yesterday. The power utility is buckling under its debt burden of 419 billion rand, and it seems to be angling for another government bailout. Eskom also announced via Twitter earlier today that it will be implementing stage one load shedding between midday and 10 p.m. today. It says the power cuts are as a result of the increased plant outages. Energy expert Ted Blum says Eskom is on the verge of collapse, both operationally and financially, and is seeking to recoup its losses by further burdening the citizens of the country. He now joins me on the line. Mr. Blum, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, ma'am.
Now, of course, we've all heard the terrible figures. We've heard the arrears debt, staff costs and primary energy costs rose by 12%, whilst arrear debt from municipalities have increased by 25% to 17 billion rand. Now, if we just park the issues of Eskom itself for a moment, the fact that the municipalities are not paying Eskom, how big a drain is that on the power utility, Mr. Blum?
And that's about 10% of their revenue, maybe a little bit more. But it's a very complicated system, and it's set up. And it's something that I've uncovered in the last month.
Yes.
Is that of that 17 billion that Eskom claims is due to it, around about 60% is very questionable.
Why is that so, Mr. Blum? Why do you say that?
Ma'am, I've done some calculations, and it all surfaced when we did the NERSA hearings about a month ago.
Yeah.
Where I made allegations that the NMD, the National Notified Maximum Demand, was being used as a baton to smack the municipalities with punitive penalties, which they in fact can't recover because. Yes. They have to stick to the guidelines that NERSA gives.
Mm.
So for 3 months of the year, Eskom increases its tariff before the municipalities are allowed to. So in those 3 months, the municipalities don't recover the money that they have to pay to Eskom. Then on top of it, as soon as they breach certain covenants, the municipalities are penalized, not for 1 month of the breach, but for the 12 ensuing months. And I think that's totally unconstitutional. It's something I've brought up. And I've also taken it to the attention of Mr. Praveen Gordon's office.
Now, of course, the Minister for COGTA, Mr. Dr. Zweli Mkhize, is trying to build some kind of coherent response to this. And of course, it would be interesting that he be informed of this information as well, because if what you're saying is correct, then the municipalities are in fact being penalized for something that's not really their responsibility.
Absolutely, and there's also due to very aggressive pricing behavior by Eskom, of course, which they deny. But the fact of the matter is, in my discussions with the DPE, the issue came up. It's a political problem because if you fix up the municipal accounts, they look in better shape. But of course, that burdens Eskom even further.
Yes. Now, when you met with representatives of the Department of Public Enterprises, Mr. Blum, how open were they to what you were putting on the table? Because it seems as if the Eskom board wants to do the right thing. One is not quite sure whether a former banker and some of the other people are there are the right combination. But what is the... the attitude and the manner of the department to coming up with fresh solutions, because Eskom had to admit today that its current structure simply doesn't work. Like you say, it's on the verge of collapse. And of course, the historic thing to do was to do a government bailout to such an extent that it actually endangered the entire fiscus. We can no longer do that. And someone like the finance minister, Tito Mboweni, was very, very clear about that. What was the department saying about some of the proposals you put on the table?
Okay, so I think the guards are very kind because the person that was supposed to head that meeting wasn't available, and the standing person was an ex-NERSA executive.
Okay.
And once I mentioned to him where I uncovered this problem, he was immediately aware of what I was talking about. And so I got a very, very good reception.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "You'll immediately put that into a memorandum and take that into what he told me was an existing interministerial committee."
Yes.
Which wasn't aware of what I had highlighted or what uncovered.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, he was very appreciative of the effort that I did to go to Pretoria and actually see them.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the minister, Mr. Gordon, previously had that local government portfolio. And in the time that he was there with the officials available, they never managed to uncover the root cause of why the municipal finances were in such bad shape.
Yes.
So, but the bad news, of course, as I alluded to a minute ago, ma'am, is that at least Eskom in even a more precarious situation, which its own executive are in denial of. They deny that they are owed less money by the municipalities. And one can understand that. But, you know, there's also a willful sort of neglect or not wanting to admit the facts.
Mm. Now, one of the other issues, of course, is that people are saying that Eskom should actually be unbundled, that there is essential restructuring that is required. Mr. Bloom, what is your view on that matter? Do you think that will make the organization A, more efficient, two, more profitable, and will be able to provide the kind of electricity security that we require?
Well, ma'am, I'm on record as having submitted when I worked for my previous employer a comprehensive motivation to the Competition Commission, arguing for the breaking up of Eskom into two entities, Grisco and Genco.
Yes.
And the benefits won't just happen out of their own. But what it would do, it would increase the transparency of the dealings between the generation side and the transmission and distribution side of electricity, where one could then see if there were mismatches in coal pricing and electricity pricing and staffing and so forth and so on. It would really highlight and make the internal transactions that happen inside Eskom, which are currently totally opaque, much more transparent.
Mm.
And then you can, if you've got that done, then you can see whether it is possible for a third-party bidder of the generation capacity, whether he could actually motivate and be competitive against Eskom to supply the grid. Because the grid would then buy from whoever was the cheapest, which is not currently the situation.
Now, one of the issues, of course, is the quality of the coal. When I spoke with Kulupa Siwe, he was saying that the coal supplies were running low, but also the quality of the coal was terrible. And it wasn't just Tegeta that was guilty of this. What is your view on the coal suppliers and, you know, the role of some of the interested parties there? I mean, if you look at a place like Nigeria, who suffered tremendous energy blackouts, it had very little to do with its electricity issues. It had everything to do with the fact that there were huge political players that were benefiting from the generating business and generator business, and didn't actually want electricity because it was going to mean a big hole in their pockets.
Okay, so let me unpack the coal side. Unfortunately, I do mining and energy. I come from the mining side, although I have spent a little bit of time at Eskom. The coal issue is very clear. I was hired by Eskom in 2006 under the auspices of Mr. Bongani Nkwabawa, who is currently the CEO of Sasol.
Yes.
He was then the finance director of Eskom, and he saw that there was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to the guys, go and find one of the old guys who used to work here and let him come and help us generate a new coal plan until 2030.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, they pressed my number, and I did my service there at Eskom for 2 years. During that time, we identified the coal cliff of 2015.
Mm.
Okay, so that was about an eight-year heads-up that there was going to be a problem coming.
Yeah.
Mr. Brian Dahmer took my report where I indicated 20 new coal mines were needed of about 5 million tons each, which gives you 100 million tons, and that's about what Eskom is short at the moment in Mpumalanga.
Mm.
He then said he's going to build 40 new coal mines, and that you can go and Google. It's on record. It's in the newspapers. It's all over the show. The fact of the matter is that as of today, Eskom has not committed to building one single new coal mine. And as you will know, ma'am, coal is a depleting asset. Mm. It doesn't grow and regrow. So once you burnt it, it's gone.
Yeah.
You need to find a new coal reserve, and it takes 5 years to open up a new coal mine, providing you don't even have objections and all sorts of problems with permitting. So from today, when Eskom is out of coal, it will take at least 5 years for them to find replenishment coal and to start a new mine. That's one mine. They need 20 of those mines. South Africa can't open 20 mines simultaneously. It's not possible. They want people and isn't money. Then, so what's happening in the intervening period until they open up those new mines? They are scavenging. In fact, I don't want to be derogatory about it, but that's what they're doing. They are scavenging for odd pieces of coal or heaps of coal lying around.
Mm.
Secondly, Eskom is not built to buy coal from every Tom, Dick and Harry that comes and offloads it. So the quality control processes aren't in place.
Mm.
You receive, like at Majuba, they receive over 1,500 truckloads of coal a day.
Yes.
They don't have the procedure to A, document the receipt of that, so that's why there's all the fraud and corruption, or B, to check the quality before it goes onto the stockpile.
Mm. Mm.
So I'm not surprised that Mr. Pasiwe is complaining that there's problems with the coal supply. Firstly, because the coal industry has been ready for more than 10 years to supply. And in fact, once the Guptas were in the riding seat, everybody else was chased off the field.
Yes.
And that's why there's a lot of acrimony between the suppliers and Eskom, because Eskom really told them to go and take a hike when they had were prepared to help Eskom.
Yes. Now, we spoke, Mr. Bloom, we spoke about this, and we also spoke about the need for, deracializing the coal sector and getting people on board that could actually do the job that didn't have the contracts historically for, 20 years and so on. But the fundamental challenge, as a final answer from you, for Eskom is what?
Ma'am, what they're going to have to do, and they once again won't want to admit it, but the reality is I've been around in the sector for more than 30 years, is they're going to have to approach the exporters.
Mm.
We are exporting 70-odd million tons of coal, export grade. That's not the right grade for Eskom, so they're going to have to dilute that grade. But and the consequence of that is it'll knock out balance of payments for a six. Because that's the only way to keep the lights on, is to they can borrow and steal from the exporters and say, please, don't export so much.
Yes.
Rather give us some of that coal. But then we'll pay the price in the rand. The rand will dive.
All right. That is where we will leave it, Mr. Bloom. Thank you so very much. That is energy expert, Mr. Ted Bloom.